Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, it's Ben. Coming up on the next edition of the Ben Maller Show, you are invited as we get closer and closer to championship weekend in the NFL. We'll have everything you need to know, and we're still waiting for those coaching dominoes to start falling, plus the big news of the day. And since we're on late at night, we mix in some fun. We'll have lame jokes of the week, a game show, and a whole lot more. Join us on the next Ben Maller Show. A giant mistake, or is it? Welcome in the beginning of another edition of the Ben Maller Show. We are all brought together in the air everywhere as we have a chat coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and tremendously powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the disco, as we do the hustle all night long, hanging out here at the Fox Sports Radio studios at a secret location on a downward slope somewhere in the Northwoods. Hope all is well with you as we are back at it again here at the Radio Salt Mine in a programming note. Now, you likely will not be listening 2.5 hours from now. You'll be doing something else. Maybe you'll be sleeping. I don't know what you got going on, but if you are with us on the full flight through the red eye here, we will have Ask Ben. That'll be coming up in hour number 3. So you can submit questions right now on Twitter. Just use the hashtag Ask Ben, and we'll be doing that later on. But our lead this hour comes from the Big Apple. Well, it's actually New Jersey, but, you know, Giants like to claim they play in New York, but they play in New Jersey. Anyway, I know it's all together. The Giants welcoming in their new general manager. Woo! They had the big introductory news conference on Wednesday, and they hired someone we've never heard of from Buffalo, a former Bills assistant. Joe Shane is his name, and he was peppered with questions. I don't know. It doesn't look like that should be pronounced Shane, but that's how he pronounces his last name. I don't get it. But anyway, he was peppered with questions. And I could go through the whole half hour thing, but that'd be boring. There's only one of his answers that stood out like a sore, throbbing thumb. You ever gotten your thumb stuck on something? Or maybe you use a hammer and you hit your thumb. Boy, does that hurt. That pain, the agony. Well, the answer was about Daniel Jones. You always need to tread carefully when you talk about Daniel Jones. Do you want to die on that hill? Danny Dimes, first-round pick, I believe it was 2019, out of Duke. And he has played like you would expect a Duke quarterback to play in the NFL. Cover your eyes bad. But the Giants are stubborn. Even though they've continued to change coaches and GMs, the new GM, the new guy, GM Joe Shane, saying, we'll go to the audio tape here if you didn't hear, saying that the plan is for Big Blue to stick with Danny Dimes.
I've looked at Daniel, and, you know, once the new staff gets in here, we're going to get together, offense coordinator, head coach, the entire staff, dive into the film as a group and look at what Daniel does best. And we're going to try to, you know, allow him to put his best foot forward. So, again, I've looked at him. I know there's been, you know, I wasn't here in the past, so I don't exactly know, you know, what he was told to do. But I do know this. I know he's a great kid. He's been in this building the last 2 days. I've talked to him. There's not anybody in this building that has said a bad word about his work ethic, passion, you know, desire to win. And I think you got to have those traits as a quarterback. And the kid has physical ability. You know, he's got arm strength. He's athletic. He can run. So I'm really excited to work with Daniel. And again, when the new staff gets in here, we'll build an offense around Daniel to accentuate what he does best.
All right. This is unreal. Build an offense to accentuate what Daniel does best. And he said it with a straight face. I mean, that was a deadpan delivery right there. All right, so let us discuss the question, thumbs up or thumbs down, is Daniel Jones fixable as a legitimate NFL quarterback garbage with the Giants? Well, this is obviously two thumbs down. I mean, this is a no-brainer. I've got toxic sludge, vacuum, and Carolines, and we will tie all of these things together. Now, if we begin with this. A, if you're a Giants supporter, then you should have an ulcer right now listening to this. Day one, right, all that talk, we need a new voice, we got a clean house, get rid of everybody. That guy, this guy, the guy in the back, the new GM, GM Shane, and he picks up an immediate L. An immediate L. And I watched the introductory news conference online because I got no life. And when you have no life and you have an overnight radio show to fill content, you look at stuff like that. So the whole thing just didn't pass the smell test. The GM here, he gets a new gig and he sounds like the old guy. He's not getting a clean slate. And my BS detector was going off and this reeks. This reeks of, hey, you want to be the GM of the Giants? Well, the deal is you got to have Daniel Jones as your quarterback. That somebody was meddling with the general manager. And it's kind of like buying real estate, and you go on one of the real estate websites, and you see a really good deal. A really good deal. A lot of land. A lot of land. There's only one little caveat. That on that land is an artificial lake right in the middle of the land that you're going to purchase. And it's a, you know, it's beautiful, right? Right out in the country, man. There's like moose walking around. And it's just awesome. You're hanging out with like Skeeter in Montana. It's just great. And so you see the artificial lake there. And then you realize, wait a minute, it's filled with toxic sludge. Would you still buy the land? But and you have to, you can't clean it up. That's part of the deal. We'll sell you the land, but you have to keep the artificial lake as it is, filled with toxic sludge. Would you still buy the property? Yeah. Keep the poison, keep the eyesore on your property. That's essentially what Daniel Jones is. He has been, excuse my French, absolute crap as an NFL quarterback. This is the definition of a bust. And yet the Giants continue to play this card, and the phrase is coming out of Joe Shane, the GM, the new GM of the Giants. Well, you know, works hard. Nobody had anything bad to say. Shows up on time. All of that. Yes, it's kind of like the actor that does great in the audition and is just knows all the lines. And then when the lights in the theater turn on Broadway, you then get stage fright and flop sweat. That's Daniel Jones as an NFL quarterback. There's no other way to say it. He has been a mistake-filled mess. Now, some are grasping, right? Grasping at the handful of games where he's looked good. But I would counter that and say even a broken clock is accurate a couple of times a day, right? The old school clock, not the digital clock. Now, part B, I guess the digital clock would be right too if it's flashing still, the battery, the energy's there. But part B of this. So now entering the chat is John Mara, the Mara family, long time in charge of the Giants. So John Mara, who's been around, family's been around the Giants forever, he validated my suspicions. Rather than rake Daniel Jones over the coals, no. Mara gave him a ringing endorsement, and I'm not joking here. The owner of the Giants sounded like a parent living in a vacuum, making excuses for the bad behavior on the field of their kid. All right, this is a quote from John Mara. He said, "We've done everything possible to screw this kid up since he's been here." The Giants owner complained. "We keep changing coaches," he lamented, "keep changing offensive coordinators, keep changing offensive line coaches." And he says, the owner says, "I take a lot of responsibility for that. Let's bring in the right group of coaches now. Give him some continuity. Is that even a word? Try to rebuild the offensive line. Try to make an intelligent evaluation, blah, 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 blah." All right. So essentially what he said, to rephrase it in layman's terms, he just went on, he droned on and on, used some different words. But it's not his fault, right? He's just a young player. He's just a young player, so he shouldn't be held responsible for blowing when he's on the field. And again, I go back to grasping at straws. placing the blame at the feet of somebody else. And as the Giants owner admitted, he's the one that keeps calling the shots and changing coaches. It's just a load of horse crap, right? It's a load. What you have here is a owner that is continuing to say, I picked the right guy. Daniel Jones is that guy. He's that guy, pal. He's that guy. And he's not that guy. He's not that guy, but continues to say he's that guy. And
You're not that guy, pal. Yeah. Trust me. You're not that guy.
And so he's painting this mosaic, the Giants owner, that it's the coaches, the offensive coordinator's fault. It's essentially everyone who used to work here, it's their fault, and not the guy who's still here. The problem with this is all of those coaches were hand-picked, hand-selected by ownership in a deliberate effort to showcase Daniel Jones. And they all failed, right? There's one common denominator in Daniel Jones. Every coach, and they were all qualified, right? They all had reputations, resumes around the NFL. They all failed. The one common denominator, which happens to be the lowest common denominator, is the quarterback. The reason there has been no consistency is that Daniel Jones has sucked. He's apparently either uncoachable or he's just bad to the bone. He's in over his head. Danny Dimes, what a great nickname. I thought because he threw dimes. It turns out his nickname is because he's a dime store quarterback who continues to ride the vomit comet week after week after week. All right, last word here. So as you know, I have no skin in the game. I am neutral when it comes to the Giants. I find it hilarious, though, that John Mara, the owner, is still undecided on whether or not Daniel Jones has the stuff to be a franchise quarterback or not. And then you had the GM say, we're gonna put the quarterback and put him in positions to do what he does best. It's like these guys are at open mic night at Caroline's on Broadway. I mean, it's a stand-up comedy thing. And so what are Jones' strengths as a quarterback with the Giants? Because, again, the GM, Joe Shane, said he wants to build an offense around what he does best. So there's only one thing that I looked at the resume and I looked at the body of work here. There's only one thing Daniel Jones does really well at an elite level, and that is be a stumble bum. Remember when he got tackled by the turf monster in Philly? That was one of his, I think that was his signature moment as an NFL player. In three years as a pro quarterback, Daniel Jones, he has been very good at charity. He's been very charitable as a quarterback. He treats the football like it's a live hand grenade, and he often has it blow up in his hands. He's had 29 career interceptions, 20 lost fumbles, for an average of 16.3 turnovers per year from one guy, right? You talk about a liability at the quarterback position. And keep in mind that he hasn't even played. The numbers are actually more than that because he hasn't played every game. I based that on the average if he had played every game, but Jones got hurt last year, missed a chunk of games. He's had some other bumps and bruises. And so now the Giants, they haven't even hired a coach. How would you like that job? Well, you can coach the Giants, but you've got this toxic cloud that's going to be the quarterback. And there is still time. There is still time to have a change of heart. So I would give this a less than 5% chance, based on the comments of the owner and the GM, that they are, come hell or high water, going to go down with Daniel Jones, who has essentially one more year left on his contract to show something. But even if he's moderately better in 2022, do you trust that that trend is going to continue to go up? Or there'll just be a plateau at just slightly better. If you want to win, maybe the Giants don't want to win. Maybe they're content sucking and being the laughingstock of the NFL. But pull the plug. Let it go. Cut your losses at this particular point. It's not working out.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Getting close to decision time in Brooklyn. Welcome in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. One after another, we stack them like hotcakes around here. We are in the air everywhere together as we steal the spotlight coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and massively powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the big mouth as we let our mouth do the talking. Don't know any other way to do it. The Fox Sports Radio studios at a secret location somewhere in the Northwoods. So I hope all is well with you. Our lead this hour coming from Pro Bouncy Ball, the rare and appropriate NBA-related Maller monologue. You'll get a lot of these after football ends, but a rare and appropriate monologue till then. So we're just a few weeks away from the trade deadline, and I don't know about you, but I've always been a sucker for the trade. I love a good rumor. I ran a rumors website for years, as you might remember, back in the Bronze Age. But it sounds like one of the big stars being floated. Will he be traded? Will he not be traded? Will he be staying put? At least if you believe the scuttlebutt. This changes by the minute. So if you didn't see this, and maybe not, we have learned the Nets are ignoring trade deadline overtures for James Harden. Ooh, the drama builds. Now, Woj passes on that the Brooklyn Nets and James Harden have a partnership. They are committed to working together to win a championship when the playoffs come around this summer. Blah, 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 blah. Harden has had his name tossed around the rumor mill for the last couple of weeks. If you follow this kind of stuff, you know that he has supposedly been mentioned for multiple teams, but mainly one in particular in Philadelphia. But the story as of this moment is the Nets believe they are unstoppable. The unstoppable force with Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden. There is no team on God's green earth that will be able to stop them from winning the NBA championship. So for the purposes of this Maller monologue, we will assume the position that the Nets are planning to keep James Harden. So let's discuss the question. All right? The Nets in a holding pattern with the beard, Harden. Are you in or are you out on that statement? So I'm actually out on this. I'm out on this. We've talked about Harden in recent episodes of the show off and on. Now, my take, you've got Patriot Way, Skunk, and Tidwell. And we will combine all of these things together, and we are going to make amazing poutine for our friends, the great gift from our friends in Canada. So to lead off or to tip off, James Harden has been unable to fully figure out how to reinvent himself as the NBA has adapted the new rules to take away the secret sauce that James Harden had in his game. Now, to the untrained eye, to the novice, you'll say, what are you talking about? Harden's numbers are pretty good. I don't know what you're talking about. You've lost your mind. Now, I'm not saying Harden sucks, but I'm saying that Harden, while he is still a good player, he is no longer at the very top in the top part of the totem pole where he's in the top 10. Now, we have talked about this, as I said, off and on in some previous episodes of the show, and there are many contributing factors to why that is. The main one is the rules changing, the way the game's officiated. But you can tell Harden has been frustrated. He's not hiding that. He knows the circumstances. He realizes he is not as dominant as he had been. Compared to the player that he was in Houston, he has been a bit of an imposter, right? And if you're Brooklyn and you're like, well, do we want to give this guy a new contract? Because that's the other option, right? You can say, all right, we'll give him a new contract. He's got one more player option on his deal. But what if he doesn't figure it out? What if he continues to slowly progress the wrong direction? You have an opportunity. You're at a fork in the road, right? You're at a fork in the road, and you can either say, okay, we're going to give Harden a new contract, or we're going to change it up. And the advice is to follow the Patriot way. Bill Belichick, for years, was like a ninja. Right? He was able to get rid of a player a year too early rather than a year too late, right up until Tom Brady, and that's where the jig was up. But before Tom Brady went to Tampa and won a Super Bowl and made the playoffs again, he had been perfect. He had been absolutely perfect, batting, you know, not 1,000, but he was batting 700, let's say 700. And so the Nets had the opportunity here, and they still have the opportunity because the trade deadline's a few weeks away of getting this done. Now, furthermore, let's address the question, are the Nets at full strength going to steamroll the Eastern Conference during the playoffs? And I am shaking my head now, passionately no, because the talk is, wow, with Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden, who's going to beat him? That's a whole new ballgame in the playoffs. Who's going to beat him? So I would advise you, if you're on that side of the aisle, to hold your horses. Right? This is what's known as a fishy situation. It is a gigantic red herring. All right, I'll tell you why. Here's the plot twist. Big plot twist in this story. Brooklyn will never be at full strength in the playoffs, so it's an irrelevant conversation to have. Right? The only way Brooklyn is at full strength is if the laws change, the politicians in New York decide we're going to relax the draconian COVID regulations. Chances of that happening? Slim and none. All right? Every man, woman, and child knows this to be true. Kyrie Irving is unwelcome in New York. He is a pariah. He is the skunk uninvited to the basketball game, right? You can't show up there. You're bad job by you. And all because he's unvaccinated. And so the wokesters in New York, the political class in New York, have made him undesirable. So, like, in Wisconsin, Aaron Rodgers can play quarterback for the Packers, but Kyrie Irving can't play basketball in New York. It makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense to, I guess, somebody, not to me. So that means Kyrie is going to miss all of the Nets' home games. Now, Brooklyn is currently in the number four spot in the East, but they're only two games back of the Miami Heat and the Chicago Bulls for the top spot in the conference. Now, that would mean home court throughout the Eastern Conference playoffs, which would mean they would have a Kyrie disadvantage. Not home court advantage, they would have a Kyrie disadvantage. You toss in how fragile Kevin Durant is, how brittle Durant is. He's out right now with an injury, although it's not supposedly going to keep him out much longer. He's going to be back sometime in February. Now, the last thing here, the other reason that I believe the Nets should take my counsel and move on from James Harden, he's already got one foot out the door, right? He's already got one foot out the door. You can get something for him. Like Harden, as I said, I see him trending the wrong direction, but the perception of Harden is he's still at the very top. I think he's a little bit below that. So take advantage of that. Rather than get nothing or less for him in a transaction, you can get something halfway decent here. Harden has been openly flirting with the Sixers and his old pal Daryl Morey. Who done it? Daryl Morey, who do you think made first contact? You think that was the Sixers or do you think that was Harden? But if you believe the gossip that they've been behind the scenes through intermediaries chatting, and Daryl Morey is calling the shots in the Delaware Valley, and he is intoxicated with bringing the beard into Philadelphia. Harden is apparently at some point here just going to start screaming like Rod Tidwell, "Show me the money!" Because he did sign a big extension with the Rockets. He had a chance to sign another extension before the regular season in Brooklyn. He said, "I don't want to do that." So that'll be one of the stories this summer. Do you stay or do you go? Now, Harden could opt out of a $47 million year on his contract and sign, if the Nets want to keep him around, for $223 million over four more years. And he can do that with Brooklyn. Now, he's a guy that will likely opt out of his contract, unlike Russell Westbrook, who's not going to get ton more money. He's not going to get another $200 million contract, or John Wall, but Harden could still get that contract because there's always that the greater fool that is out there. But if he does sign that extension, he would make, you know what he'd make? He'd be the first player to go past the $60 million threshold for one season. That James Harden, the last year of his contract, if he signs the extension and they offer the full max extension, he would make $61.7 million to play 82 basketball games and a few playoff games, and you don't even play all 82.
Wow. Wow. Wow, bro.
holy cannoli, right? I mean, how do you pass that kind of money up? You can't pass that up. Man, pretty good for a guy whose game has some issues adapting to the way that they're currently calling the game. You don't turn that one down. You sign on the dotted line, capiche? I mean, you're right there. Now, regardless of that, I expect Harden to pick curtain number three, not number two, because number two would be Harden opts out of that year on his contract, becomes a free agent, and signs elsewhere. So I don't think he's going to pick door number two. Door number one's just sign the max extension. I don't think he wants to be in Brooklyn. Something's just not right there. So I think he goes curtain number three. Now, curtain number three would be where the Nets agree to a sign and trade. Harden opts in to that $47 million and then signs with the Sixers long-term, and he gets the $60 million down the line, but he has to wait a little bit longer for it. When are the serious question, when are the sports radio salaries going to catch up to the NBA? When are we going to start making $60 million? I mean, my goodness. Those of us that do overnights, I'm not talking about the daytime people because they're better people. I'm talking about the overnight people. Man, oh man.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is advice, but is it good advice? Welcome in the beginning of another hour. It's the Ben Maller Show. We thank you for hanging out with us. We are in the air everywhere, side by side, as we spit into the ocean, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond, on the vast and enormously powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the bottle as we try to catch lightning in a bottle. From the Fox Sports Radio studios at a secret location somewhere in the Northwoods. So this hour, our lead story comes from the Speculation Machine. Another day, another handful of hot take artists commenting on Aaron Rodgers. We have the retired NFL players commenting, retired quarterbacks commenting. Now, Rodgers announced earlier this week that he's deciding whether to go back to Green Bay, whether to retire or seek employment elsewhere, even though he's under contract for a couple more seasons. So, what do we have? We have former Packer quarterback Brett Favre, who said that his gut feeling is that Rodgers is going to say bye-bye to Green Bay. Now, former Giants quarterback Eli slash the Punk Manning, called him that for years, Eli Manning issued a warning to Aaron Rodgers. Now, what was the warning? I don't know if you saw this or not, maybe not. I'll fill you in. I'll give you the inside skinny, the truncated version. So Elijah said leaving Wisconsin for a fresh start could, that's a weasel word, could turn into a negative. Quote, "It's not always greener on the other side," Manning said, the other Manning. "That's what I had learned," Eli said, "from talking to other people. You can go somewhere and it's not necessarily going to be better. It's probably going to be worse." The lesser Manning cautioned. Now, Eli says that Rodgers should finish his career with a single team, just like he did. Says it's a big deal that you do that. It's important to only play for one team. And that was the advice from Manning. So let us discuss. Now the question, is it really a big deal for Aaron Rodgers to only wear the Packer uniform for the rest of his career? And no. That is the answer to this. I've got pineapples, Mary Poppins, and Big Top And we will connect all this together. Make the Baba Ganoush for Jerome in Kansas City, who leaves the Chiefs games early because his wife forces him to. All right, so first of all, while Eli technically only wore one uniform, those of us that are old-timers, remember, he wasn't drafted by the Giants. He was drafted by the San Diego Chargers. Show me your lightning bolt. So it's pretty clear that for Eli, drafted by the Chargers, it wasn't important to him back then to play with only one team, to finish your career with the team that drafted you. That would be the Bolts. No, what did Eli Manning do? You remember what I remember what he did. I was here. He had a hissy fit. He had, woe is me. Woe is me. He turned to his daddy. I said, Archie, help me out. Help me out, Archie. I need some help. And Archie said, okay, I'm part of the Illuminati of the NFL. No problem. And the Manning family strong-armed their way from the dirty city of San Diego, which used to be called Paradise, and you know, go to New Jersey to play for the Giants. Eli Manning and Aaron Rodgers, the comparisons are pineapples to watermelons, right? It's pineapples to watermelons. Manning, at the end of his career, when it looked like he might play for another team, he was washed up. He sucked, right? Nobody wanted him. Nobody wanted to touch Eli Manning because they knew this guy just wasn't good. And he was a baseline quarterback who had a couple of fluke runs. We pointed out he's not a Hall of Famer. You look at the numbers. He's just a mediocre quarterback. Eli Manning, who had a couple of weird things happen in the playoffs. If you're honest, you know that. Now, if you're honest, you know that. Now, there's a lot of people that, you know, speak with their heart, and they go on and on. It's a bunch of liars. Aaron Rodgers, at this moment, even at his advanced age for professional sports and the industrial complex of pro sports in America, Aaron Rodgers is still held to the highest of standards at quarterback. And should he decide to hit the trap door and exit Green Bay, he will have 10, 15 teams fighting like cats and dogs to bring Mr. Rodgers' neighborhood to their city. And nobody in the NFL was dying to get their hands on the rotting carcass of Eli Manning. The last couple years he played for the Giants, he was like an exploding whale. You knew at some point it was a whale, that it was dead, there was gas in it. You knew it was going to explode. You didn't know quite when. He had outstayed his welcome. It's just different for Aaron Rodgers. And so Eli Manning trying to compare his situation to Aaron Rodgers is a mistake. Right, even with the playoff flop against the 49ers and not getting it done again in the playoffs, even with that, it is irrelevant to the level of interest that will be out there in the free agent market, which is really not a free agent market because Rodgers isn't a free agent. Now, secondly, is it true that Rodgers should be worried the grass is not greener on the other side? Well, that is a misnomer. This is not a one-size-fits-all situation, and Eli is trying to make it that. You have all kinds of different outcomes of veteran quarterbacks that change teams at the end of their career. There are many that flopped. There are also Tom Brady and Peyton, although Peyton was terrible when the Broncos won, but they did win, and they pushed his hospital gurney across the finish line there with that great Von Miller defense to win in Denver. But Tom Brady, he was legit in Tampa Bay, and he switched teams, and they sure found, forget the green grass, they found a tropical rainforest on the other side. And don't they tell you, if the grass is not green, then water it, right? You should water the grass. Rodgers is mindful of what's going on around the NFL. He's under contract with Green Bay, so it does become a little more dicey. It's a little more complicated. It's not just, hey, I'm a free agent, I go wherever I want. But the Packers, if you believe the whispers, will attempt to accommodate him to a point. So as Mary Poppins said in that classic scene in the old movie we all watched when we were kids, you make the right decision and you will be singing supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, all right? It'll be invigorating to change. It keeps you on your toes when you change things up. Allows you to experience new and exciting things, replacing the old worn out things with new ones. In the case of Aaron Rodgers, you leave your comfort zone, your happy place, and you see what's out there. Right? You see what's out there, and it's not all bad. Now, final thought. So Eli implied that Aaron Rodgers will be limited to only AFC teams, that Green Bay will not send him to the NFC. I disagree with this. Now, clearly the Packers are not going to send Aaron Rodgers to the Bears or the Vikings or the Lions. Now, that is out, but it is possible that Rodgers could finagle his way to the NFC East, for example, if he wanted to play there, or the NFC West, which doesn't seem likely because those jobs are pretty much taken, unless Arizona finally wants to admit that Kyler Murray is not that good. I think you'd rather have Aaron Rodgers than little Kyler as your quarterback. Now, in the AFC, the argument against going to the AFC is this is problematic because that is the conference that is loaded with blue chip quarterbacks. You've got Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert. And to that, my counter argument is, I'm going to quote an old NBA player, whoop-de-damn-do would be my response. Like this, oh, you don't want to go to the AFC. That's where all the good quarterbacks are. That is the ultimate loser attitude. That's the ultimate defeatist attitude. Embrace the challenge, right? Don't be the scaredy cat. And hey, if Rodgers wants easy street, he can stay with the cheeseheads because you can gorge on all the garbage and go dumpster diving in Detroit, Chicago, and Minnesota. The catch of the day, we mentioned this in a previous episode, this week, the story of the week has been Rodgers supposedly scheming to go to the Broncos with Davante Adams, but that would put him toe-to-toe, nose-to-nose with Patrick Mahomes two times a season in the AFC West, and he would also have to go against Justin Herbert as well. Some are trying to upsell Justin Herbert. Now, Herbert's off to a good start to his career, but he is not quite in the same zip code as Aaron Rodgers. So cool your jets on that one. And the good news for us, those of us that are in the gasbaggery business, is that wherever Aaron Rodgers ends up, he will bring the traveling circus with him, okay? Under the big top, right? Step right up. You'll see the sword-swallowing, knife-throwing, fire-breathing madness of it all, right? Come one, come all. Fun for all ages, and the only way this doesn't work out is if he retires, then the fun ends. But then we get to follow him when he gets into politics or some other wild life turn, and we can rant and rave about that at that time.